Welcome back, WNST Taos in Baltimore and WNST.net. We are live at Super Bowl 52 on Radio Row. 52 is a pretty good number, is it not, Luke Jones? That's pretty good. That's a number we use around here.
Fitting.
And at some point later on in the week, Ray Lewis will be joining this guy. And,
we assume, right.
Well, Orlando Pace, you tell me. You block Ray Lewis once or twice. I was out there at the Edward Jones Dome when the Kurt Warner miracle happened. Ray Lewis, Hall of Famer or not, you get a vote?
Absolutely. I don't have a vote, but I'm almost – he's the lock.
He's a lock.
He's a lock. If he's not, then the process is there's a problem with the process.
Well, until this Brady guy comes along and we have to debate, you know, that. There aren't a lot of locks, right?
He's okay, I guess.
In your career, at what point did you start to smell it? Because, like, Suggs this year, I think for the first time, all of us who cover him and have been around it, we're like, there's something that makes it happen, right? And for you, you got a championship early on. You played a lot of great players. You were surrounded by great players. You know, was there a point where you're like, man, maybe that call's going to come while you were still playing?
Well, yeah, it's always a dream as a player, but you get to a certain point where you win a championship, or you go to a few Pro Bowls in your career, and then you have some success, and guys respect you throughout the league, and you hope. You hope at the end of your career that you've done enough to get that call. And, I was fortunate enough to get that call and was extremely excited.
Bottom line here, Luke Jones, and I'm going to let you, because Luke is much more fair-minded than I. I don't hold a grudge. Luke, who is better, John Ogden or Orlando Pace?
I was going to ask Orlando that question. Full disclosure, before we got going with our conversation, I said, yeah, Orlando Pace, good player. He's no Jonathan Ogden.
See, that's what I'm saying. And from that point on, I knew I was at a Baltimore station.
Exactly.
From that point on, man, I'm telling
you. Who was better, Orlando?
It's a rough crowd over here.
Yeah, it's a rough crowd. You know what? We both have gold jackets. We both had great careers. Obviously, our offenses were different. Obviously, I'm going to say, me. I mean, I assume Jonathan enough. Would say him.
But, and Buscelli would say him.
And Buscelli would say him, and Walter Jones would say him. But that's just part of it. But, that era of just having great tackles in that era with Jonathan, Walter, Buscelli, so many other greats, Willie Rolfe, all those other greats, where the passing game really was elevated and you needed a really good left tackle. That was a great era to play in. And I'm fortunate that I played in that era with so many other great tackles.
I was there that first day when McAllister picked the ball off and got tripped up at the one-yard line, and Billick's first game, and Scott Mitchell and DeMarco Farr called Scott Mitchell a water buffalo. I mean, I was there for all of that. Now,
so you're holding the grudge then?
No,
you're holding the grudge
for
that game, right?
It was hard to argue with it. I mean, you saw him play.
We all knew Kurt Warner was the Hall of Famer that day, coming out of the lunch line at the Kroger. And I mean, whatever that was. I mean, you were around when, Vermeil cried and said, all of that stuff. And, I guess through all of this, you probably thought you would have been to more Super Bowl. You know what I mean? And at that point in your career, you thought, well, this is easy. I'll go to 7 or 8 like Brady. What the Patriots have done, you played against them. I mean, like,
don't remind
and your
me of that
career's
game.
Over. You're in the Hall of Fame. You're running around talking to us.
Right.
He's still playing.
He's still
on
playing.
Sunday.
You know what? It's unbelievable and what he's been able to do his entire career. And to think that his legacy started there in Super Bowl 36 of winning these Super Bowls. And to think that, he's still playing at a high level at this point of his career is phenomenal. It's a credit to the hard work and everything that he's done and that whole system with him and Belichick. And I'm obviously still a little bitter about that game, but, good for him.
What do you say when you see Vinatieri?
I still, every time.
This is fun, man.
You know what I mean?
Can we keep Orlando Pace all day?
No, he's still playing.
I like picking on the big guys. It's
so
fun.
When you see these guys, you kind of just want them to go away. You see Vinatieri hit another field goal. You're like, dude, I remember. It naturally goes back
can't
to the Super Bowl.
Can't you just
miss?
Can't you just
miss one? Or he'll miss one, and I'm like, why he didn't do that in Super Bowl 36?
Well, then, like, Brady's losing 28-3 last year, and you're like, finally.
Exactly, yeah. So we take pride
He's done everything but come back from 28-3. Now,
right. Absolutely.
I don't think there's anything left, but for you in the Hall of Fame, by the way, Orlando Pace joining us here on behalf of K Jewelers. I know we want to give a shout out for Valentine's Day and do all that. So you sing the little song, and we have the ring too, don't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we still have the ring here.
This is Chris Carter's ring. It's a replica of Chris Carter's ring. And as a Hall of Famer, you get a gold jacket, a bust, and you get one of these nice, really nice rings that from K Jewelers. And they do such a great job with the Pro Football Hall of Fame and the Ring of Excellence. And Obviously, Valentine's Day is around the corner, and we want
you
to win.
It doesn't even look like Chris Carter.
It does. Oh, you know.
How does yours look? Do you like your bust? Oh,
it's okay. Yeah, it worked out. I think
it's kind of a miniature.
Yeah, there you go. It's kind of a miniature, but it's good.
Looks like Orlando Pace.
There you go.
Yeah, perfect. There it is. There.
Perfect. There you go. Nice ring.
The Rams and the move and all that stuff. I mean, obviously, we're sensitive to all this, right? Because we're Baltimore people. And, you know, I've written a lot lately about losing a team and fans going away. And I don't know what point as a player for you. In the beginning, there was so much inertia in St. Louis, and the team was so good. And I was there the day you guys beat Tampa, and we're going to, you know.
You might be a Rams fan quietly, man.
No, I did like Fred Dreyer and Hunter back in the day. I mean, I was a big Fred Dreyer fan. Don't tell Jack Youngblood that when he walks by here. Right. But, you know, I guess for St. Louis, and now there is no home to go home to. And, you know, Bruce Laird lived with this, and Stan White, all the Baltimore guys that lived in the community. And I said, the first thing I said to you was, I interviewed you in 1999 in Atlanta, Super Bowl, but I said, where do you live? And you're like, I still live in St. Louis. And, boy, I mean, you're a big guy. Everywhere you go, you might as well have a Ram helmet on the side of your head. Yeah. It's much like the Colts players and Artie Donovan and Lenny Moore, all those guys. When a team goes, I don't know that there's any, like, playbook for how to, and you know it's not coming back, and that's the weird part in St. Louis.
Yeah,
you know?
with you guys in Baltimore, at least you guys got a team back.
But we never believed we were going to get a team.
Yeah, I mean, so really St. Louis is in that same boat. So you're kind of walking around, as a player initially, you're walking around like, hey, I don't have a place to go. I don't have a home. I don't have a real home. But, you know, obviously the Rams have done a great job of including us. And once a Ram, always a Ram, that whole mantra of being in L.A. And obviously being out there in the history of the game. So you see the L.A. Ram, the L.A. original L.A. Rams out there, and they know exactly what we're going through. So we can have conversations back on how the move affected them. But
I used to go into St. Louis and see Jack Youngblood's name. Roman Gabriel on the wall. I'm like, what?
So you try to include those guys, but obviously when the Rams left St. Louis, there's a part of St. Louis that kind of died. You guys probably feel that way because you're kind of just walking around as fans, like, who do I cheer for? So there's a lot of people that's diehard Rams fan now that just feel like they don't have a team to root for as well. So as players, we feel that a little bit too. But obviously, you know, we have to follow the organization, and they've done a great job with me.
Yeah, so. And it has to be awkward, though, for a guy like you. I mean, a Hall of Fame player in St. Louis. You want to feel loyalty to what a place you've made your home.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there are people in the Rams organization. I mean, you're not that far removed from playing where, you know, you have ties and
absolutely.
There are guys that have come and gone. And that was always the awkward thing for the Colts. And, you know, that it was a little bit before my time when they moved. I was just a baby. But, you know, there were certain
so
guys.
So was I.
There were certain guys who would go out to some function in Indianapolis. But a lot of guys stayed away and they felt that loyalty to Baltimore.
Well, so it was hard to really get off a plane if you're Raymond Barry showing up at an Indianapolis Colt game and that dump out there in 1985, 86, 87. And then come back to Baltimore and say, oh, I'm a Baltimore. You're what? Like, you had something to do with Ursay? I mean, crunky is a four-letter word in your state now. I mean, it's got to be, right? And he was a Missourian, right?
That's
the weirdest part.
Missouri. Yeah, so it is. I think it's you know, obviously there's a lot of bitter fans there who's not familiar with, you know, doesn't really like, you know, Mr. Kroenke or whatnot. But, you know, obviously it's business at the end of the day, and you guys experience and these and those guys, they're businessmen.
How about those Cardinals?
Yeah, baseball. So.
Well, it's a baseball town, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I've told everyone, if you're going to go to a baseball game somewhere, go pick a Cardinals-Cubs game on a Friday night.
Oh, absolutely.
Go over to the Bud Village over there.
Absolutely.
And turn, I mean,
absolutely.
I've always loved the Gateway Arch. I've always loved St. Louis. And I my heart breaks when I see Balzer and I see people like you even just being there. I mean, I guess you sense it. You knew it was sort of coming down the line. But then there's the aftermath of those Sundays without football.
Yeah, and it's rough because, you know, when you're going through that, like, I enjoyed taking my kids to the game every Sunday.
Of course you did,
You know what I mean? So just getting them because they were young when I played. So get a chance to go to a pro football game is always special. Now we got to travel 4 hours now to L.A. just to get to a game now. So, but it's still fun. We still enjoy it. My kids are still huge fans of the Rams. I'm a part of the organization as well. So really excited to do that and you know, always hoping for a winner.
Before we go, I know you're going to talk O-line with him because you've got all your O-line questions.
Well, it wasn't so much O-line, but there are a few offensive linemen on the list of finalists for the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
Who are you really rooting for? I mean, is Bocelli the one that you're a little surprised hasn't made it? I know his career wasn't as long as you and J.O., but his peak was, for years it was Pace, Ogden, or Bocelli. Who do you have?
Absolutely. Bocelli was, I felt like he was the one player that everybody was kind of chasing. Like, he was playing so good. like everybody watched his tape. I remember the first time he went against Bruce Smith and he kind of just dominated Bruce Smith. And I was like, dude,
yeah,
that dude is the truth. And he had to, everybody started going smaller shoulder pads.
Right,
he
right.
went smaller shoulder pads. And, you know, I think he was one of the standards. He was one of the great players. Obviously, injuries cut his career short. But, you know, he was playing at the highest level of anybody at the time before he got hurt. So hopefully I'm rooting for him. I'm always rooting for left tackles. He was, you know, he challenged us and made us better players as well. So.
Isaac Bruce also?
Oh, yeah, that's my guy.
Here's another. I mean, how many of you guys got now? Is it Falk, Warner, you, Tory?
Isaac's a finalist this year, so he's a finalist. Tory was a semifinalist, but Isaac is so unique and great because I got an up-close personal snapshot of his career and the type of professional player he was, and I'm excited. Hopefully this is his year to get in, but obviously, as you know, receivers is really tough. It's a log jam for receivers, and there's a couple great receivers coming up as well. But my vote would be for Isaac Bruce.
He gave the fans the finger behind the bench at Memorial Stadium in '96. I was there. So, I want to show you a little memory here.
Oh, wow.
Look at that. That's Orlando Pace and I in 1999 hanging out at the Super Bowl. Look at how good looking you were, man.
Look how young we were, man. I'm telling you, man. So that's awesome.
That's wearing
man.
My Raven colors there and all that. And I'm like, that's future Hall of Famer right
there.
A fascinating game because you came this close. Jimmy Schwartz is still pissed off, but he's trying to get even this week.
I mean, you
took his ring with the reach and all that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you were a part of one of the crazy Super Bowls where, like, you could easily – you talk about kick with Vinatieri one way or another, but your game was incredible.
Yeah, you know, obviously Mike Jones who made that tackle with the last play there. But the Titans was such a tough game because it seemed like Steve McNair and Eddie George, that last drive, they just got stronger. And I've known Eddie because we went to college together, but he was running the ball, like, really hard. And that's one of the hardships of beating a friend like that because, obviously, I got the ring and I'm excited, but the flip side of it is you didn't, so –
I still give Tiki Barber a hard time when I see him about 0-1.
Absolutely.
It's interesting because I saw one of the national writers made a list this past week in the top Super Bowl dream matchups that never happened. And one of the ones they mentioned was the Rams not facing the Ravens at the end of the 2000 season. I mean, the Rams were the standard offensively.
Yeah, yeah.
The Ravens were a historic defense, with apologies to Tiki Barber and the Giants, who didn't put up much of a fight in that game at all.
Right.
The dream matchup really would have been Ravens against Rams that year.
Well, you guys got a little taste of us. You guys came to St. Louis, right?
I've been to St. Louis many times.
With the Ravens, right? Early on.
I remember that game. We played there with a bowler game too. Bowler
that was
quarterback
03,
there.
I think.
Yeah.
That was the game Bowler got hurt.
And then the last one was to Torrey Smith. I mean, we'll play every 8 years.
Every 8 years. So
I'm 21, but I've been around a little while.
That was a good match, and that would have been the dream matchup. That Rams offense versus that defense, that Baltimore defense with Ray. And
who'd you guys lose to that year in the playoffs? Because
New Orleans, absolutely.
Yeah. And we were banged up all year.
Right.
We were kind of riding that wave where we had just won the Super Bowl before, and it was kind of
fat and happy.
Yeah. Then we got back in 01. Where were you guys in 01, man?
Well, Jamal Lewis tore his ACL the first week of training camp.
Things happen.
So you guys could have stopped this whole Patriots run, too.
I know,
man,
right?
You know?
I would sing you an Elvis Gerback song right now, but I'll leave that alone.
Well, you guys can't be that excited with the Patriots either. They've done some things, some comebacks. Brady has some comebacks against
you. And here's the other thing, and I'm going to leave this for next year. They cheat, too.
You're telling me.
I don't know what they were doing. I mean, the legend of your Super Bowl and the playbook. You know?
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, there's some dirty MFers. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you.
Hey, we can pile up on the Patriots, me and you, man. I'm telling you.
You going to be the heavy in this?
Yes, let's do it, man.
All right, man. I got bodyguards here. Orlando Pace here, Hall of Famer, on behalf of K Jewelers. Every kiss we can.
There you go.
It's all brought to you by Howard Bank, as well as our friends at Royal Farms. Real fresh, real fast, Pizza John's, as well as our friends at Cole Roofing and Pfister Energy. We're out in the buy at Toyota.com. Audio vault 24 hours a day from anywhere in the world on your mobile device by downloading the TuneIn Radio app. We're trying to keep lukewarm out here in Minnesota. It's all Super Bowl 52 coverage ongoing from the Mall of America. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, and WNST Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore sports.